We're going to hear God's word, and Peter Thompson's going to come and read the passage from Isaiah.
Good morning, saints. Our reading comes from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, found on 615 of your pew Bibles, and the title is The Compassion of the Lord. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and labour for that which is not does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear to come to me, and hear, that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander of the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that you did not know shall run to you, because the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to God that he may have compassion on him. And to our God he will give, he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. It shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and lead forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of God.
Let's just dedicate our offering and praise the Lord, the doxology. We're going to have our second Bible reading, and David's going to come and read it for us.
Is from Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 16. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of such much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God, who tests our hearts. For we never came with the words of flattery, as you know, nor with the pretext for greed. God is witness, nor did we seek glory from people, whether you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous to you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labour and our toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you, while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. But you know how, like a father with his children. We exhorted each one of you and encourage you and charge you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accept it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Jesus Christ that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and displeased God and opposed all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved. So as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but God's wrath has come upon them at last. Amen.
Let's come and open God's word and let's hear his message to us. And as we do, let's bow in prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we just pray that as we come to look at your word today, you will help us, you will guide us, you will refresh our hearts as we gather around it and fed by you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, modern day technology, isn't it exciting? The other day I had to get a new mobile phone. Whoop! And what happened then? And it was easy to set up, but I don't understand it. And computers, you're all computer literate, aren't you? Or illiterate, or terrified by them, or whatever. Well, technology is going berserk, isn't it? Mobile phones, one example. And they're so easy to use, so they tell you. But there are times when you think, no, this is not working. The latest one, you might have noticed that you ring somebody and they don't answer their phone. And then you get this voice to tell you that they haven't answered their phone. Hello, I know, I can understand this little bit. They haven't answered it. And it's usually a computerised generated voice. Gone are the days when you used to be able to do it. Leave your own message yourself with all the ums and ahs and leave them. If you want, you're right. Now, how we stumbled when we've got to record our own voice. Terrified. So this strange voice says that they can't answer their phone. I know. But then this strange voice these days, instead of saying, just leave a message, and so you leave a message and it's all recorded, all nice, and they can understand it. And they say, leave a message and we'll fall. Now, no, they've changed it. It's leave a message and we'll forward it to them as a text. Now, if I wanted to send them a text, I would have sent them a text. But this is where they're at. Now, I don't know about you, when someone says to do it, calm, cool, collected goes out the window, doesn't it? You've suddenly got to say something and you stumble, you mumble, you get things wrong while you're trying to speak a message that some computer is going to put into words. Now, as soon as I get that message, leave it and we'll send it to them a text, I hit the red button. I ain't going to do it. Apparently, someone left a message. Well, I know, because I got it as a text. Someone left a message for me because I didn't answer my phone. And according to the text message, my name is now Liz, not Les. Well, that's technology. However, let's look at our passage of Scripture today. And here is a message And Paul is talking about it, that no one can confuse. No one can change. You don't get a computer trying to change the words around. But it is the one true message. It is delivered by God's people. It doesn't change. Because why? It is God speaking. And let's be blunt. God never changes his message or his mind. This is why we're looking at this next little passage in 1 Thessalonians. And when I keep coming back, we'll keep looking at these different passages. Want to read ahead? Go right ahead. So here we find Paul is focused on the message, the gospel message. Yeah, he's reviewing his ministry to this young church at Thessalonica, but also reminding him how consistent he has been. He's not big-noting himself. He's not taking advantage of them. And the message that he is bringing has never changed. And you know what? Even today, it still hasn't changed. And on into the future. Oops, I do that all the time. On into the future, technology, see? It will still never change. Paul is saying, look, in spite of everything that's been happening to him, the message is still there. It hasn't changed. Look at the passage in verse 2. We'll see at the start of it there. It reminds them that he came with one purpose. Hadn't been easy, but nothing was going to stop him from the task that God had assigned to him. So verse 2 tells us this. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. This is his focus. This is his message, the gospel of God, the one true message from our Heavenly Father. Doesn't matter what's going on with him. He is consistently focused on delivering the message. He said, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. Look at our world. It's a mess. What does it need? It needs for us to have the boldness to declare the gospel of God. The message that never changes. The truth. So Paul is focused on this gospel, the gospel of God. It's not Paul who is at work in their lives either. It is the gospel. It is the word of God. We see it again in verse 9, which says, well, I'll find it. For we remember, brothers, our labour and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. Again, no, the gospel is the focus. And then down in verse 13. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. How powerful is this? Unchanging. The word of God. And he is constantly thanking them. This powerful picture The word of God at work in believers. The word of God at work in you and me as we believe in the Lord Jesus. The word of God is not some dead or ineffective thing. It's not a story of fiction. It is the story of truth. It is the living, the active message of hope and of deliverance. It's the sword of the Spirit, more powerful than any double-edged sword that changes people's lives. It is the gospel of God that Paul and Silas are sharing with the people. And look, these people are sharing it with others. Not their own message, but the message, the gospel of God. So today we can join with Paul in sharing the message that has not changed. It will not be altered by some computer-generated voice. It will always be the word of God. Not it might be, but it is the word of God. And so we need to be sharing this unchanging word, the gospel message. It is the word of truth. And truth never changes. As they say in the classics, if you always tell the truth, you don't have to remember what you said. True. It is the word of truth. If we hold to the word of God, it is consistent. Remember how it all happens? Everyone who is called by God into his kingdom, we can jump into Ephesians 1. I had it marked here somewhere. There it is. In Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. To the praise of his glory. Read the whole part. It is the word of God, and it changes lives. You, as you have believed, heard the word of God, and you have believed in the grace of God, and that Jesus has died for your sins, believing it, you too, just like all our believers, have this guarantee of an inheritance that will never perish or spoil or fade away. It's the only thing that can do that. The word of God. It was what was happening in the lives of the believers. It's still happening today, isn't it? You and I, we have this guarantee because we have heard the word of truth. We have believed what God has done for us through his Son. It is the gospel message, the gospel of truth. But over the years of ministry, it's a little bit of an aside. Someone will say, but what is the gospel of God? What is the word of God? What is this thing all about? What is it? What is it? Yeah, well, our glam answer is, well, read the Bible. It'll tell you. Well, let me help you. If someone says to you, what is the gospel of God? What is the word of God? What is this revelation that reveals the grace of God to all generations? Have a look at Romans 1. In the first six verses, there Paul sets out in some very simple little terms, he covers the whole ambient of what is the gospel, what is the word of God, what God has done to set sinners free. It's all God's plan. It's all how he started it from the beginning. How it is focused on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour. And how he reminds them of what God has done for sinners through his Son, the Word made flesh, the grace of God that appears for all generations. So, there it is in a little capsule. You can find it in other parts of the scriptures as well, but that's a good one to have a little bit of a look at. And then Paul also declares later on in that first chapter of Romans that he is not ashamed of the gospel. He is not ashamed of the word of God. A gentle reminder for you and me. Never, never be ashamed. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So it is the word. And this is the gospel that Paul is talking about to that young church in Thessalonica. It is the message that we are to be sharing of the hope that we have. Jump back to our Old Testament reading from the prophet Isaiah. Again, here is a powerful invitation through the prophet Isaiah, from God himself, as it is revealed to us, the love and care of our God, to come to him. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come and buy and eat. Why do you chase other things? Why do you chase the things of the world? Come to your God. An invitation. And it's the same invitation in the gospel message. In Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's what the gospel message is all about. Seek the Lord, the one who will have compassion, the one who will pardon, who will forgive our sins. Yes, that's the message that Paul is sharing with the church of the Thessalonians. But let me encourage you also, don't be discouraged if people do not want to hear what you're saying. Paul faced it, didn't he? He faced it very clearly. He faced real stuff of opposition as he tried to share the gospel message. We agonise over it. I've been trying to tell so-and-so the truth of the gospel, trying to share the message, but they're not listening. Just remember one thing. It's not you. It's God going to do it. And you know the wonderful thing, because you're all examples of it, God's got his own timetable. And when he calls someone, he calls someone. Many years ago, I was talking to a brother minister, and he was agonising over the fact he'd been sharing the gospel with this fella who was getting older and older and older, and my brother minister was starting to worry that this fella was going to die before he accepted the Lord Jesus. And he agonize. He's not listening. He's not listening. Hang on, mate. Remember, it's God who's going to do it. God did do it when the guy was 86. God changed his heart. But the gospel had been shared. So share the truth. Share what God has done. Share the message that doesn't change at all. People will reject it. That's on their head. God will deal with them. We just need to be messengers of the truth, messengers of the gospel message. So Paul focuses on this message. It's central to everything that he does. So we need to be sharing the gospel message of what the Lord has done for us. God doesn't say it's going to be easy, but the task is there to serve him. You have been set free. You've been set free through the grace of God, having repented of your sins and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the unchanging message of the gospel. It is the gospel message that we share. Nothing will ever change it because it's God's word. It's all of what Christ has done through his death and his resurrection. It's all about the forgiveness of sins. It's all about God's agape love, sacrificial love for you. And you know it. You've heard the message, you've believed the message. Rejoice in it. The prophet Isaiah in 55 talks about how the word goes out and never comes back empty. God's plans always work. As you sit here as a believer today, you are part of God's plan. You didn't decide to come. It is God who changed you through his word, through his son. He is in control. You heard the truth, the unchanging truth of the gospel message, the word that convicts and changes a life so effectively. Rejoice in that. Be excited about what God has done. You heard the message, you believed the message. You heard the word of God and you believed the word of God. You believed in Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. You believed that he died on the cross for you and he rose again for you. That's the message that Paul has been sharing. It's what we need to be sharing as well. And Paul's got a little trick in this passage. I love it. You might not be able to speak clearly. You might be worried if you say things, you might not get it right. Well, Paul says, don't worry about it. Because in this passage, in verse 12, he tells you one more thing. You have been changed by the word of God. So what does he say in verse 12? We exhort each one of you and encourage you and charge you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Your life, how you live it as one of God's children, is a witness to the gospel. Because you will do things differently. You will say things. You will not say things or not to do things that others do. The word of God is living and active. It is alive. is unchanged. Walk in a manner worthy of the grace of God and rejoice that the word of God, the gospel of God, is still at work today. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, encourage us. It is the message of salvation, of your grace and of your love. Help us, Heavenly Father. We know the truth. We've been changed by the word. We've been changed by your spirit through your Son. So help us to live our lives for your glory. Help us to live a manner worthy of you and in your service. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.